Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Let me read for us our text, and then I will begin to walk us through this verse. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 reads as follows. Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam God said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." This is the punishment God gives to Adam. The first thing I invite you to highlight in this verse is the personal responsibility God gives to Adam. Most of this verse and the next two verses emphasize the terrible consequences of Adam's sin. And God begins by relating these consequences directly back to the man Adam. The Bible says, "To Adam," God said. This is a word for Adam. The punishments that come fit Adam's crime, nobody else's. This matter of personal responsibility is further highlighted in the twice-used phrase, "because you." If you have your Bible in front of you, you will see this. God's word in verse 17 begins, "because you have." And then later in the verse, God says, "because of you." I encourage you to highlight these two similar phrases. The Lord God is clear. Adam, it is because you have sinned that I am going to now punish you. The details follow. Here, already, we must pause for application. Do you want to know who God is? Well, then pay careful attention to this. God is the God who expects us to take personal responsibility for our sin. He expects that we will own up to what we have done. We can ask of this text these questions. Why does God emphasize Adam's name? To Adam, God said. Why does God twice say, "because of you"? I think this is why. Go back for a moment to verse 12 of Genesis 3. You will not have to venture far. Verse 12 is just a few verses up the page, or the screen if you are scrolling on your phone. God is in the garden in Eden, and he is confronting the man with his sin, and listen to what Adam says to God. This is Genesis 3, verse 12. The man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." As I pointed out when we studied this verse, Adam blames Eve. Here, Adam refused to take personal responsibility for the evil he has done. He blamed his wife. So when we come down to punishment in verse 17, God addresses this sinful attitude within Adam, and God says, "You are responsible." You know, Adam was not the last man who blamed his own sin on someone else. He refused responsibility for that which he had done, but God will not let him get away with it. The same is true for us. Like the first man, we men, and yes, you women, have no excuse before holy God. We must come to terms with this truth. When we kneel before the Lord in his holy presence, we will have to give an account for our lives, and there will be nobody else to blame. We will own what we have done, and we will face the consequence of our sins. The punishment that God gives is congruent with the sin a person commits. God is not impulsive. Punishment for sin does not come out of the middle of nowhere. God is not sitting in heaven having lost track of our behavior, and when he tunes in again, he suddenly says, "Boom, here's a good punishment. There, take that, human." No, there is always context in God's judgment. He takes into account the attitude of our heart, what we think, say, how we act, and then God responds, meting out the punishment our sins deserve. We receive just punishment from the just God, just like Adam did. I want to say something you likely already know. In general, in the majority, people do not like to be told to take personal responsibility for sin. There are three problematic words in what I just said. The first problem is with the word personal. Christians are often given that sideways glance. Do we mean to suggest that each individual will be held accountable by God for the way that individual acts? How dare we? We ought to know by now that there is a multitude of reasons why someone acts the way someone does, and it is not personal. It is environmental. It is familial. It is the system. It is the circumstance. It is never personal, or so goes the cultural logic. The second problem is with the word responsibility. Again, do we Bible-believing Christians mean to suggest that each individual has a duty to report oneself to God? We cannot blame someone else for the wrong that we have done. We cannot shift responsibility to the said environment, family dysfunction, to the system, and to the circumstance. This is not acceptable to God? Is that what we mean? If you do not think responsibility is a problematic word and idea to many today, then that's only because you have not dared to suggest to someone else that they have no one to blame but themselves for their own sin. And of course, sin is the third problematic word. Sin. This is a despised word. This is a word that is not used, sometimes even in the church. And that is what is really shocking and tragic. How could the churches have punted it out of the vocabulary? To even suggest that a person is a sinner is, well, at the minimum, offensive. It may well soon be illegal. In our culture, there is stiff resistance to these words, personal, responsibility, and sin. But God keeps pushing this. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. Here is what God spoke to Israel through the prophet. Listen carefully. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Ezekiel 18:20. God cannot be any more clear than that. The person who sins will die. The person. This is not about the collective group of people, the system, where you were brought up, who your parents were, how they treated you. That is spelled out right here. The father pays the penalty for the father's sin. The son pays the penalty for the son's sin. Period. Sons cannot blame their sin on their fathers, and fathers cannot blame their sin on their sons. No, you made me do it. No, it is your fault. The righteous are righteous, and the wicked are wicked. It is the individual person who sins, and it is the individual person who will be held accountable for that sin. Taking personal responsibility for sin is exactly what God expects of Adam and Eve and of you and me. This is what he expects of everyone. But this is widely unpopular in concept and certainly in practice. And therefore, countless people will be shocked, really stunned, to learn on the judgment day that there will be a punishment commensurate with that individual's personal sin. God says, Adam, because of you. And then comes the punishment that fits exactly what Adam did, as we shall see in this verse and in the verses that follow it. So my first observation is this. Notice the personal responsibility God gives to Adam. Next, notice how God continues here in Genesis 3:17, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. The nature of Adam's sin is that he both listened to the voice of his wife, which then prompted him to eat of the tree which he was commanded not to eat. I find the phrase, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, very interesting. Question: what is it about listening to Eve that was sin for Adam? Answer: because Adam listened to Eve, it meant Adam was not listening to God. Adam was listening to the wrong person. That is my second point as we make our way through this verse. Adam listened to Eve. Adam did not listen to God, and that gets him into this punishment. On the surface of it, we might want to know, is there anything wrong with Adam listening to Eve? What is so wrong about the first husband listening to the first wife? Well, here is what's wrong. It is the content of what Eve said. She persuaded her husband to disobey God, and you cannot get any more wrong than that. Go back to Genesis 2. God clearly said, "Do not eat of this tree." But in Genesis 3, Eve ate, and then she gave to her husband, and he also ate. The two of them sinned. By listening to the voice of his wife, Adam was dismissing the voice of his God. Let me say that again for emphasis. By listening to the voice of his wife, Adam was dismissing the voice of his God, and that is sinful and proves tragic. And so that you can easily remember these insights, let's make this our second one. By listening to the voice of his wife, Adam was dismissing the voice of his God. So that as we put our foot in the door of this verse, Genesis 3:17, we have learned first about the personal responsibility that God gives to Adam. And now second, that by listening to the voice of his wife, Adam was dismissing the voice of his God. I hope that if you take notes, you'll jot those down, and I'll say more about this tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.